Welcome back, Force listener, to this special rewind presentation of a Gen X grown-up backtrack. I'm John. Here with me, of course, are Mo and George. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going,
everybody? Hey, everybody.
So this is a backtrack all about the TV Guide. Now, we first recorded this and published it back in July of 2018. Mm-hmm. So not forever ago, but it's been, is that 4 or 5 years now? It's been a while, 2018.
You tell me we recorded it 3 days ago. It feels the same amount of age to me. I don't remember either one.
You don't remember either way. It doesn't matter.
I remember around this era was when I feel like we really got our feet for what backtracks were going to be. We talked about last time we did the backtrack about video games, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And our console was like 17-minute backtrack. And we had it a couple of years under our belt at this point. And this one ran like 37 minutes initially. So it was getting more fleshed out. Okay. But it's when we started like outline and go do a little bit of research. It wasn't just personal experiences. Like, what do you remember? Nothing. What do you remember? Like, we actually were looking up stuff and doing research. And I remember finding, I'm not going to spoil it, but I remember finding things out about TV Guide, its current state and even its history that I never knew. And that's something that came out of backtracks that I never expected when we started doing the podcast.
Yeah. It's somewhere along the way, it went from being just us recounting to us like just really just doing like, here's what this whole thing was about, regardless of our mm-hmm. experience, you know? So it's actually kind of fun to do some of this research because you said I'm learning stuff about mm-hmm. stuff that I thought I knew.
I learned a lot.
It feels a little bit like we're live presentation versions of an encyclopedia in some cases. Like we're just, we're finding and learning all these facts, but then we're also relating to our personal experiences at the same time. So
right.
I always appreciated that about the podcast as they move forward. We started getting a little bit more information to our listeners, but with mm-hmm. our own particular flavor.
That's a really key thing, and I'm glad you pointed that out. I was about to, George, if you didn't, because, Mo, you had said it started just recounting our own personal memories, mm-hmm. and then we started adding more information into it. But we made a point of we have never lost the recounting our own personal experiences with it, because that's what got us our audience in the first place. I mean, it's a common experience. That's what Gen X grown up is about. It's what it was our experience growing up in that era. And we're just three people that had our own experiences, but very diverse. We're grew up in different areas, you know, and our different relationship to the TV Guide, for example. You know, did you have it? Was it on the, was your neighbor have it? Did your grandma have it? Did you subscribe to it? What did you do with it when you got it to mark your shows? All that stuff is in this backtrack. So I think with that, guys, why don't we just pass it on? So fourth listener, here is a rewind presentation of the TV Guide backtrack. Hope you enjoy. No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up? Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listener, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is Mo.
Hey, guys.
And George. Hey.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
We are back again for the backtrack edition, which is the edition, as you all know, where we pick a single topic from our youth growing up, dig in deep, and see what's different or changed about that. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the TV Guide.
Wow. All right. Yep.
I would hazard to guess that some people listening don't know what the TV Guide is, and that's why we're talking about it.
Kind of like the rotary phone episode, right? Like, what the you hell got is it. What does rotary mean?
Before we get into our topic, though, I always like to take a look in the fourth listener mailbag and see what we've got. And we do have an email this time from fourth listener Rick.
Hey,
hey Rick.
Right. And the topic of his email was interesting side note.
Okay.
Okay.
Not ominous at all.
I'll go with it.
Interesting side note, I'm sitting outside your studio right now with a shotgun and a fifth of tequila.
Point of trivia, you're in my sights. Rick says, so just bought a pair of Bluetooth stereo headsets.
Okay.
First time listening in stereo. So a tip of the hat to John for having George on one side and Mo in the other.
Right.
Yeah. He says, it's the little things, Rick.
Nice.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
John, somebody noticed.
I know.
Besides us, right?
Yeah, that's something we've done since maybe the...
Jeez, like second fourth or third. Fifth. You did it early,
pretty soon, yeah.
Yeah, I did do it right away, but probably a few episodes in. You know, it was when we started doing individually recorded tracks, when we weren't all merged together in one recording. Mm. As soon as we had that, I'm like, you know what I could do? It has a little slider. It helps when we're talking over each other too, I think, because you can kind of, you can tell who said it because it's coming from this ear or this ear. That's was kind of the thought. And it just kind of stuck. I mean, it works.
There's a little competition stuff too. Like I told you, John, when you first started doing it, I was like, you know what I really hate is that when I'm driving in my car, Mo is in the fucking driver's side speaker and I'm in the passenger side speaker. So I don't get to hear myself, but I got to listen to Mo the whole drive.
Well, you know what you sound like.
Well, yeah, but I think I'm very interesting. I want to hear myself.
If only there was some setting in your car stereo where you could adjust that. I mean,
God,
they'll invent that someday, George.
I've got a Gen X grown-up stereo. I don't have those settings.
Does it have balance?
No.
Just, what kind of a janky car stereo do you have without balance?
It's still got the push buttons for the memory presets on it.
Ka-chunk,
to radio? Ka-chunk. That's a whole nother backtrack episode right there. The push button preset radios.
You know, the other great thing that having us in stereo does is when I put in my headphones to listen, I know if my headphones are in backwards, if George is in the wrong ear. That's also really helpful. I'm like, what's George doing on the left side? I flip him. So
funny.
Because there's no other way of telling.
Yeah, it's not like there's a little thing written on the side of the headset. You got to actually listen to George to see.
So he'll tell it's you. Like one of those hacks. I've seen the one hack where you take your left earbud and you tie a little knot in it, and that way you always know. Well, this way, just listen to the Gen X Grown Up podcast. When you hear George in one ear, Mo in the other, you know if you've got them right
it's
or not.
It's much simpler. Just only listen to us, and you'll always know which way to put on your headset.
That's true. This is true.
Life hack. Fake news.
Oh, Rick, thank you for writing in. Thank you for noticing. We always appreciate you and all of our fourth listeners who take the time to drop us a line. With that, let's jump into talking about TV Guide.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
This week, TV Guide profiles B. Arthur of Maude. The public often confuses an actress with her role. B. is not quite as opinionated as Maude, but she knows one thing for sure. There's no one else like me. Her story in TV Guide.
Travel back with me, if you will.
Oh, geez.
To the dawn of the Generation X era. Get up out of bed. Saturday morning cartoon time. How do you know what cartoon is on when?
Okay, before we get into that,
yeah,
I want to know if we hired a poor man's Rod Serling. What the hell was that?
That was pretty sad.
Travel back in time. Blah, blah, blah. I felt submitted like I was on a ride approval at Epcot or something. Going.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, fuck me for being creative. Fine.
Yeah, you know if I didn't give
no,
you
it
shit.
It was a good attempt, Joe.
So you roll out of bed to yeah. watch Saturday morning cartoons. How do you know what cartoons are on what channel? You check the internet, right?
Yeah, or you have yeah. cable TV. You have the guide channel, right? Or,
no, wait, there's no internet. There's no what? Cable TV.
Oh, wait,
there's no what? Cable TV? Why am I getting up?
Because there's three networks and they all have cartoons, George.
Oh, okay. All
get your cereal, so get your shit together.
I forgot. I'm talking to Rod Serling. I forgot. My fault.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
So we're back in time. All right. So, well, there's only one thing you can do. You've got to try and yeah. get to the TV guide before you're dead.
before he takes it and puts it on the back of the toilet.
Right.
Yes. Where we're going with this is the TV guide was not like a magazine that some people read or didn't
no.
back in our era. Everybody had the TV guide because it was the only way to know what the hell was on TV
in advance.
Right. If you were watching TV, they might tell you what was up next. But the right. only way to know that this was on this night, this was on this night. It's such a thing that has changed so much. It's why we wanted to do a backtrack about it, because we had this magazine that started like at the dawn of television, really back in like 1930s. It started as a magazine that was covering like movie stars. But as soon as TV started to become a thing, like 1953 was the origin of TV Guide.
Okay.
And they were just putting out this magazine just for the local like Chicago area. Like that was it. It was just this local thing for Chicago TV viewers because things are different everywhere. It quickly filled this gap as TV became more and more part of the national consciousness and everybody was talking about and watching, and it became like living rooms stopped being built around the radio and they were built around the TV now. You know, all the chairs, you know, Archie Bunker and Edith Bunker's chair pointed at the TV. Everybody has to know what's on and when. And so it started to evolve into something that was more than just a magazine.
Well, and you know, you talk about how do we learn what was on and when was on. It wasn't just that. So for instance, if you happen, your father, your mother, whoever happened to enjoy the shows that were on CBS, you didn't know what was on NBC because they, of course, didn't cross advertise. Like CBS
exactly
didn't allow
right.
a commercial
yep.
that was on NBC. They were, it mm-hmm. was against the rules, and you didn't have all this cross advertising going on between channels.
Mm-hmm.
What was on
yep.
NBC was never talked about on what was on CBS. Like even the Today Show, they wouldn't have a guest from an NBC show unless it was like they had to.
You got it. Yep. Yeah.
The only way you could find out what was on one station, if you were watching another, was the TV Guide. It was your internet. It was your cross promotional device.
It was how you planned your evenings. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we talked during the Saturday morning cartoons that we would go through with a highlighter, a marker, and figure out, okay, what will I watch at 7 a.m.? And you circle it. What will I watch at 7:30? At the risk of kind of beating a dead horse here, there's no DVR. It's not like you can just
right.
say, oh, whenever this thing comes on, I want to watch it.
Right.
You've got to be there. It was appointment TV. You know, it wasn't like you could recorded or DVR'd or something. So it was so critical.
I mean, I have to tell you guys, I mean, and this is kind of like a confessional time here.
Okay. Okay.
My dad had a philosophical issue with TV Guide.
What?
He would never buy it. Now, my grandmother did.
How so?
We never bought it, ever.
Why?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Was
to be
there
honest,
a religious
sure.
objection or something?
He's just trying to stick it to the man?
I think it was like just the idea that it made TV too important, maybe. I'm not sure, even though he watched his fair share of TV shows. So the only place we could find out where we can like watch shows is that we had to basically look at the newspaper, which is really the only
okay.
place that we could get anything. And the problem is that the newspapers only show the shows that were on that day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
They didn't have like a weekly, or maybe Sunday they did like a whole weekly thing. But generally speaking, though, it's like if you didn't get that Sunday paper, you had no idea what was going to be a watch. So luckily for me, though, my grandmother was a firm. she loved her TV Guide.
She was a TV Guide stalwart. There you go.
Yeah, we all had subscriptions.
Yeah, you couldn't, like no one had to like, if it was missing or if we were touching it, it was like, you better take care of that TV Guide. I'm like, yes, Grandma, I will.
That was one thing. You just mentioned the word subscriptions, John.
Yeah.
There were plenty of magazines that you could subscribe to back in our day. You know, there was Life,
yeah.
there was Time, there was Newsweek, all these different kinds of magazines that have been out there, Reader's Digest, whatnot. I'll just take a wild stab in the dark that TV Guide probably had the largest subscription of anything as a single entity ever. It probably was in more homes than any of the other ones, I'm guessing.
Yep, you are not wrong. Yeah, according to the Wikipedia article, man, they say that TV Guide became the most read and circulated magazine in the United States by the 1960s. And it was just launched at 53.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised
yeah.
it took it that long, to be honest with you. I would have thought, like,
yep.
after a few months, it would have been the largest in circulation. It was the next thing. Like, you would go, when I was a wee little lad, I mean, they had TV Guide, but you would go to somebody's house and there were two things in the area that I lived in that were on the coffee table in every home I went to. There was a Bible and there was a TV Guide right next to it. Every single friend, every single parents, family gathering, they were right next to each other. It was almost spooky a little bit. It became like an icon of that whole thing of watching TV with your family or by yourself.
I don't think you can overstate just how ubiquitous it was. I mean, if you went over to a buddy's house, you never said, hey, do you have a TV Guide?
No.
You said, hey, where's the TV Guide?
Right.
It's just because everyone had one. It was uncanny. And back then I never thought about it, but I mean, they had to be making a killing because they had a stranglehold on the market because you needed it. If you enjoyed TV and you wanted to watch stuff, everybody had it.
Can you imagine what the advertising rates were for that thing? I mean,
it had to be astronomical.
People had to be begging, like, please put our soap dispenser in your thing. You know, here's my third child. Take him.
Yep.
That had to be like Walmart is now. It just had to have every bit of power there is.
The other thing is that I can't recall any competitors.
Well,
yeah, there was not another national,
not a national
magazine
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, but you would think, yeah. though, I mean, something that, like you said, it made a ton of money. It was hugely popular. I'm surprised that nobody tried, or maybe they tried and failed.
Well, think about the efforts and logistics that it takes to put out a TV guide. I mentioned that it just started in one city,
mm-hmm.
but there are different things that air in different cities.
Right.
So if you imagine, so Mo, you grew up in New York. I grew up in Florida. Let's just take Florida, for example, which is a big state. If you drive to North Florida, you can have certain TV channels.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive to South Florida, completely different.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that means the magazine you send to North Florida is worthless in South Florida. So imagine the logistics of, based on zip code or area code, they had to put out probably in a single state, 6 or 7 different yeah. editions of the same magazine.
Yeah, you know, that's something
that,
I never thought
printing.
About back then, but yeah, you're right.
It's not the same TV guide. You know, you'd visit somebody, you go on a trip and you visit somebody in Idaho and you go, all right, I don't know the TV channels here. Where's your TV guide? You flip right. it open and it was like a TV guide from a parallel universe. It's like, what's this channel 7? No one has a channel 7.
right.
You know, it just looked weird because you're like, how did you get a TV guide from this planet? You know, it's just so different logistically. What a nightmare it must have been.
The odd thing is, though, that they were so good at those logistics that you implicitly trusted anything you read
Seamless.
In there as being the gospel. If this thing said there's a Channel 7 that's going to show the Love Boat at 7 p.m. tonight, by God, Channel
yep.
7 will
you know
have the
right.
Love Boat at 7 p.m. that night on that television that the TV guy was near. It was crazy how good they were at that.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
Find out how Captain Kangaroo has survived for nearly 25 years with low ratings. Discover how 6 countries handled the same international news stories in 6 completely different ways. And read Carol O'Connor's candid recollections of 9 seasons on All in the Family in the new issue of TV Guide magazine.
I have a question that I want to ask both you guys about TV Guide. You had a subscription at one point or the other. Mo, I know you had to go to your grandmother's to see the subscription, but we had a subscription.
There was one there, yeah.
Yep.
TV Guide comes in the mailbox. It's got a bunch of bills and garbage your parents needed, and here's a TV Guide.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do as soon as you get the TV Guide? What is your ritual? How do you interact with your TV Guide when it hits the doorstep? Start with you, George.
Well, I mean, the first thing is trying to steal it away from before my father got a hold of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we kind of touched on that earlier. It would invariably... The person who was in charge of the TV, like eventually when they came out with remote controls, you know, your father, he's the one who was in charge of the remote control, right? Same thing yep. with the TV guide.
The remote sits on the TV guide.
Yes.
Yeah, they stay together.
Right.
Right. If you have the sword, you have the shield.
That's right.
Go together.
So I would first try to get a hold of the TV guide just so I could go in and circle with a pen or pencil or highlighter, if I could find whatever I needed to mark out the stuff that I want. And I would take the TV guide and a sheet of paper next to it and write out the stuff I wanted to watch that week.
Did you?
Well, because wow. I wouldn't get the TV guide after that. He would keep it. Like, he would read the articles and he wouldn't, like I said, it was like the remote. I was not allowed to use it while he was around. So it was like, well, I did eventually get a small television in my room, so I needed a way to know what I wanted to watch, and I couldn't get the TV guide from the living room because
okay.
we only have one, so I had to make
right.
my own little list, my own little chart every week.
You had a subset of the TV guide
exactly.
that you had transcribed.
Like you talked about earlier, there were competitors and stuff. I would never get that little cheap thing from the newspaper in our town. It was called The Limelight, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
Screw that. I just didn't even like the feel of it. You know, just the paper yeah. didn't feel good. I would rather copy stuff out of the TV
this
guide.
This is not a TV guide.
No.
Yeah.
It's like Sam's Cola versus Coke. It's
yeah,
just not right.
Exactly. You'd rather just copy everything down, watch my shows, and that was how I did it. That was every week.
Mo, how about you? How did you interact with the TV guide when it hit your little paws?
So mine was limited to being on Sundays when we had Sunday dinner at my grandmother's house.
Okay.
Its usefulness for me was... You know how it is? Like, because back then, there's no DVR, like we said. There's no recording mm-hmm. or anything like that. So if you had 2 shows that were on at the same time, you had to pick which one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The TV Guide helped with that because they'd actually have a little synopsis of what each episode's about.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's more than
so
just a listing.
It's like, ooh, do I want to watch Barney Miller? Do I watch it? You know, it's at the same time as this show. Oh, right. This is happening on this one, so we're going to watch that.
Right. Fonzie's going to jump a shark. I got to watch
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You got to watch that one.
Yeah, you should have missed that one. That was not one you should have.
You know, it's Happy Days worth watching. I would read and look for all my favorite shows and look for what's going to be on this week. Also, just in case I did miss the show, I knew what to kind of ask my friends about later.
Oh.
Oh.
You know, like, hey, this is supposed to happen that episode. What happened? So that was basically how I interacted with it.
I heard that Mork has a son. How is it?
Oh, God.
He's really old. He's older than Mork.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How about you, John?
I didn't have to fight for the TV Guide. I was lucky because my dad and mom, they were not big TV watchers. Let me take that back. They did not reach and watch things beyond what they like to watch already. Dad was going to watch the news and he was going to watch wrestling. Done. We know when that's on. He didn't need the TV Guide for that.
Right.
And you didn't have to check the thing to see what was good, what was happening in the news or wrestling. It was going to be news and wrestling. That's what's always in it. So as long as you know when it's happening, you're fine. And my mom was not a big TV watcher at all. So the TV Guide came in. It was my TV Guide, which was great. I mean, it was ours, but I'd have to fight for it. And you were talking a little bit, Mo, about the description. The top thing that I used the TV Guide for primetime, which I loved, was that little R in parentheses.
Oh, is
a repeat.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now I know I can skip that one because I already saw it.
Ah.
I can go to the other because otherwise you didn't have.
You didn't know.
Yeah. You just start watching. You're like, oh, crap. I've already seen this one. And now I've missed the first 20 minutes of Barney Miller while I was waiting to find out if this was new or not. And I would go through it. And George, like you, I didn't make my own transcribed version, but I always had a marker or a highlighter and I would pick. Like I would look and I would say, all right, well, here's what's on at this time. And I would go and highlight this thing and go through it. I mean, Saturday morning cartoons was the biggie.
Sure. Yeah.
But for anything, you know, Greatest American Hero is on. Great. Okay. Well, it's a repeat. So I can actually look and see what else is on at that time because I didn't have to watch that same one again. Now, don't get me wrong. If nothing else good was on, I'll rewatch it. But you know before the show starts, which was always great. And I would go through and there was a lot of junk in there that was ads and stuff. And I would tear out the garbage that wasn't TV.
See, that would be like sacrilegious in my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
I ripped out a page.
No.
That would be like the death of me.
It had one purpose, and that was TV. And you go through and you're like, all right, good stuff. Good, you know, listings. What is this ad for a statue of an eagle? Rip that out. You know, don't need that.
Who needs that?
So I would get that junk out of there.
You know, you talk about tearing out pages and everything. I remember an experiment that I ran with my father one time. Got a hold of the TV Guide before he did one week. I said, you know what? I'm not going to write everything down.
Wait. Before you go any further, I predict an ass whooping at the end of this story.
Yeah. You predict correctly, sir.
You do. So, all right. I missed it. How'd the experiment go?
Yeah. So Nostradamus over here that just predicted my childhood trauma. I grabbed a hold of the TV Guide one week before he got home, went in there and I'm writing everything down and I ran out of paper as I was transcribing the stuff that I wanted to watch that week. I was at the bottom of the one page I had. I had some other paper, but I couldn't use that because that was for school and I wasn't going to be able to go to the store to get more paper before I went to school.
This is like a great prequel. I know how it's going to end, but I'm still enjoying the show.
So, yeah. I turned the page in the TV Guide, and to my utter dismay, there was about 20 shows that I really wanted to watch on the next page. And I'm like, damn it, I'm out of paper. What? Well, maybe he won't notice.
Oh.
And you know how when you tear a page out really slowly and you have time to think about what you're doing, you know, you're like, because it wasn't like the quick Band-Aid rip. I was like being very careful so I didn't mess up the letters. So I'm tearing it out, and I'm like, I remember thinking to myself,
oh, man.
I might die. This might be the last thing I do as a human on this earth is to tear this damn page out of this TV Guide. But I need to know what's going to be on. I need to remember.
It's so worth it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. He gets home later that evening. He says, oh, TV Guide. You know, he starts flipping out. And it was almost like, because my father was a card player. So he could feel, you know, with his fingers, he could feel like decks of cards. You know.
Feels a little light.
So he picked that up. And as his thumb brushed across the edge of the TV Guide, it was like he hit that spot where that one, and it was just one page. He hit that spot where that one page was torn out of that book. I just walked into the living room, and I'll never forget the look on his face. Like, he froze for a second, and he turned just slightly in his chair to me, and he was like, boy. I went, oh. Mom? Didn't matter.
She can't save you now.
Sorry, this is the TV guy we're talking about.
That was a good 15 minutes worth of ass whooping that I just had to endure. And then the worst part, I had to give the page back. So I didn't even get to keep the page.
You still didn't know what was on TV.
I missed all the shows See? That week. Oh, that was horrible.
It's all right. You couldn't sit down to watch them anyhow.
Nope. But I was grounded.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
How do other TV magazines measure up to TV Guide? The others give you program listings and maybe a feature or two. TV Guide gives you program listings plus news, reviews, commentary, close-ups, updates, and fascinating feature articles on the people, the programs, and the power of television.
So TV Guide evolved some over time, as all things do. It started out Universal. Everyone had it. As we've said, everyone had it.
Yep.
Some things that I remember about its evolution. So first of all, it initially was just like newsprint. It was just all black and white.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
As they started to add more articles, part of it was like on that slick magazine stuff. And then all the listings were on black and
white.
That's
right.
There were like two kinds of paper in there. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was really neat. Initially, everything was that log format we talk about where, you know, here's the time. And here's a list of what shows are on at this time. So it says 8 p.m. Here's what's on at this time. And then the next column, 8:30. But then later, they evolved to have that cool grid format for just certain times of the day.
Sure.
Like from prime time throughout that, you had this nice grid.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on whether you lived in New York like Mo or the asshole of Florida like me, the grid was smaller or larger based on the area and how many channels you had.
Right.
They started adding cable networks that came in over time, all that. But aside from just the natural evolution, as readership declined, as there started to be more competitors that came along, that we'll talk about in a minute, they started coming up with ways to try to drive subscription and purchases that any good magazine would do.
Yep. For me, one of the ways that I noticed right away that they tried to do that, I want to say this was probably in the mid to late 80s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They started coming out with collector covers for certain things. Like when there would be a certain event, like maybe the last TV show of MASH or the wedding on such and such show, that kind of thing. They would have these collector covers.
There'd be several to get.
Yeah.
Right. There's the Trapper John cover and there's the Hawkeye cover and there's the Loretta Swit cover. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So they would do that.
Try to get you to buy more than one.
Yeah. And you weren't buying it because, you know, there was different content in between the pages. You were strictly buying it because it was a cover and it would say 1 of 4. And sometimes maybe number 3 was hard to find in your area. So that was the Chaser cover maybe. But that was the first time I ever even thought or had heard of or knew anything about collector covers. Now, we all know now collector covers are huge in the comic book industry.
And comic books, Entertainment Weekly does it too.
Yeah, variant covers are crazy. Like they've even gone in the comic book industry to now there's blank covers. There's things called virgin covers where they take all the titling and numbering and stuff off of them. And it's just the image that the
just
artist
the
drew.
Art. Yeah.
That all started with the TV Guide.
And that collectability was pretty amazing. I mean, it was a genius thing that TV Guide did. It kind of moved them out of, well, I don't know if it moved them. They were working their way out of just being a magazine to being kind of an icon of TV entertainment. That was certainly something they were doing. But those collector covers, that made them like a true collectible.
Well, it went from being a tool to being an item. Before, it was a tool. How do I find my shows? What, you know, where do I look at stuff? What's going to be on this week? Then it became a prized possession sometimes with some people. I mean, there were people I know who had like shelves of TV guides that they collected.
There's a big aftermarket.
Yeah. Much like people did back in the day with National Geographic or Reader's Digest. You know, those were collected for the content. TV Guide, it started being collected strictly for the covers, really.
You're not going to look at the inside more than once. Those covers, no question.
Yeah.
Another really cool tool they started using that I remember fondly and loving were special editions. they would put out, I know they always did a fall preview. Right. What are the new shows that are going to be out this fall? And that was a big color section. And you would have like, oh, look at this. Oh, Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. What are they doing? You know,
why is he green? Is that a misprint? What's that?
It's a misprint.
Who's Lou Ferrigno?
And you can find out all the new shows that are coming out. You know, now we use the internet for that. But there was, that was the only way you found out. It's the only way I found out. They did an edition for the winter, same thing, a winter preview of what was coming out. And the other thing, we just talked in the previous podcast not too long ago about shows that we love that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
In the TV Guide world, the only way I found out whether a show came back or not is they also put out a special edition called Returning Favorites. Mm. I didn't read that one as much. It would talk about here's what happened last season and here's what they're doing in the new season and such got married and they had a baby or whatever and what you have to look forward to in the new season of Dallas or Falcon Crest or whatever. So between those collector covers and special editions, they were doing a lot to keep themselves relevant and become more of an item, like I think, like you said, George. Yeah.
Not only did they hit on a hot topic when they did and created this thing that became the thing, then they found ways to keep it relevant over the years. I mean, they had some brilliant people at the helm, whoever it was in charge. They were some idea people. That's for sure.
Yeah.
There was a little more evolution as we moved along. I mean, TV Guide as a corporation, they became more than just their magazine. So first of all, they were a service, and those services would serve up the data about what was being broadcast that newspapers purchased. So, George, you talked about having the little TV Guide in your newspaper.
Right.
Later on, they actually got that data from TV Guide.
Oh, really?
TV Guide licensed out. They were a service, the TV Guide Corporation or whatever they're called, and you could purchase a service that would give you data on what shows were going
to
be
so
on.
So, like, you had access to their database, or at least what they you bought from them of their database, I guess.
That's right. Yep, for your local area. Huh. And then we all know about the TV Guide channel.
Oh, now,
there were some things had their own guide. Once you got cable or satellite, you started to find that there was listing channels for what was on. But there was an official, genuine, branded TV Guide channel that most satellite and cable carriers had. And you could flip over and see that. And you'll remember this is a constant slow scroll.
Yeah.
And you can be absolutely certain that the channel you wanted to see had already passed a moment ago.
Yeah.
You had to wait for it to come around the horn.
That was one of those experiments in brand loyalty for me. So when that stuff was happening, I, you know, was more competent with technology and everything. And I remember my parents, when we first had our local cable company here, they were used to their TV Guide, but of course TV Guide was waning, the physical book. So they found the TV Guide channel, just like you're talking about, and Dad would watch that scroll until he found what he wanted to watch. And he would sit there sometimes for 20 minutes watching that damn thing. I'd be like, Dad, you're missing your show already. It's already, well, I don't know where it's at. I got to find. And then, you know, the cable box, it had its own guide that you could actually maneuver around, right? You could scroll up and down and things like that. And I would try to show him, Dad, just go to the guide on the cable box and you can look at the different channels and you don't have to wait for them to scroll over. And if you miss it, he's like, nope. I'm watching the TV Guide one. That's the real one. And that was his only answer. That was it. It's the real one. The other one doesn't count.
I get it. And those kind of came and went because as soon as the internet really became viable and DVRs moreover became viable, it was integrated into your DVR. You know, how did you know to record something? Well, you just said, record that thing. It doesn't matter when and where it's on. It's going to capture it for you. So it started to fade.
I think the whole advent of cable TV, though, was kind of like the beginning of the end in a way. Because like you said, TV Guide, like they could put, you know, 100 and, you know, how many markets, 170 different markets, because there's only like five or six channels they had to worry about. Then cable TV comes out. Now they got 50 or 60 channels. And just logistically, I can't see how they could have kept up.
Well, now they are still published. It's a bi-weekly magazine that still comes out. I will tell you that I did not go and pick one up as research for this episode because it's not on my radar until I read it in the article I was researching on. I didn't even realize it was still out
there.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't either.
I wonder what's in it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we're going to sound like idiots talking about how it is today, but we're not talking about how it is today. It's just the fact that it still exists stuns me.
Yeah.
I've not picked one up or even seen one in so long. I'm sure it's probably turned into more of an Entertainment Weekly kind of magazine.
Yeah, that makes
my
sense.
Guess to make it relevant.
Right. Interviews and reviews, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they always had that. In fairness, they always had interviews. They always had content and articles, but it was just that color section.
Right.
You know, the black and white was the meat of it. But I don't think anybody turns to TV Guide to find out when is something on. If you're lucky, you go to it to find out more about the thing that's on in an article or an interview. That's got to be what it is. Now I've got to go pick one up and find out.
I don't know. While we were talking, I went to TVGuide.com.
Oh, Lord.
And, yeah.
And well, let me tell you the first, I mean, right off the bat, it says, you know, the best shows of 2018 so far. And of course they had Barry was right there on the cover.
It's news articles. Yeah.
But I guess this is trying to become like a, or maybe a hub thing where it's kind of like news articles and links out to where you can watch these things.
Well, they've tried to evolve, which has been their modus operandi from the beginning, right? They started off as one thing, then they morphed into something a little bit different. Then they continued their viability through the different things we talked about, like collector covers and specials. And now they're morphing into this thing to try and keep themselves going. I think it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.
The curtain's opening on the new TV season, and nothing gets you into it like TV Guide's Fall Preview. Get the full lineup of new stars and new shows, plus changes in your old favorites. Nothing captures the excitement of the new season like the Fall Preview issue of TV Guide. On sale now.
There are several like technologies or things that everybody had, like TV Guide. TV Guide has become like the milkman who always came around, and everybody had the milkman that came by, and then that's gone. Or the guy that drove the ice truck.
Or the phone book.
Right, yeah.
Or pay phones.
Yeah.
Yellow pages.
Everybody. And then they fade. And because as technology advances or the way that we consume our media changes, today, not only do I not know when something is on, I don't know where it's on. Yeah. I don't know what network things are on.
Right. So we'll talk about a show here on the podcast, and I never know where it is or when it is, and I really don't care, because all I do is I go to Google, type in the name of the show, it gives me a link.
That's right.
And I'm watching whatever it is I want to watch. If it wasn't for there are certain channels that my wife can't find on the internet right now, we wouldn't even have the DirecTV cable TV stuff. So the term TV back then, it was a media format. It was, you know, something that was beamed into your home over a device. Now it's just the device, and the device itself is almost going away. I've had younger people come up to me now and they'll talk to me about their monitor that they watch stuff on. They won't talk about it as a TV or a television.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a monitor. It's just a giant monitor to them now. And they'll talk about my monitor has this app built into it so I can watch Netflix all the time. Or
right. Yeah. Amazon Prime is baked into mine.
So the fact that the TV is going away, you know, maybe the TV guide is also going the way of the dodo a little bit.
But I know what you mean about not knowing what channel even something on. Like, I mean, the only reason why I know Timeless was on NBC is because NBC are the assholes that canceled it.
That's right. I need to know who to hate. Right.
Agree with you 100%, George. I mean, things are evolving and changing, and you know, maybe TV Guy can stay relevant. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's going to have to make some pretty drastic changes, I imagine.
Yeah.
Why do you read TV Guy?
I want to know what I'm watching. I want to know what my children are watching.
A must. You should do it. It's good for you.
Use the TV guide. That's what it's there for. Open it up, see what you want to watch, plan ahead.
Every taxpayer should have to read TV guide.
Well, maybe you're going a little far, but I think if you own a television set, you have to have a TV guide.
If you don't read TV guide this week, you might be missing something.
If anything in this episode has piqued your interest, we've put links in the show notes you can click on to find out more. Catch up on past shows and be alerted every week when a new one drops by subscribing to us in Google Play, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, TuneIn, iTunes, or wherever you like to listen. While in iTunes, take a second to rate and review the show. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later. We'd love to hear from our fourth listener, so email your thoughts, suggestions, questions, ideas, or complaints on this or any other episode to podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is so much more than just this podcast. You can also find our video content on YouTube or explore our entire body of work on our website at genxgrownup.com. That is going to wrap it up for another backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. No longer have a TV guide in my house, but at least I do have plenty of web pages where I can find out where things are on and I can look them up. Or you can always listen to the Gen X Grown Up podcast to find out what good media is coming out. We'll always let you know.
We can be your new TV guide.
We're happy to do it for you. We don't have collector covers, but by golly, we'll be here like clockwork every Thursday. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it. Mo.
Yeah, always fun, man.
George, thank you.
Yes, sir.
And I am John, fourth listener. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No one watching shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be
french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. I'll go ahead and start the record. Is it working?
All right. Well, let me put my pants on. All right.
That's not necessary.
You started recording.
It's just sound, as it turns out. I don't have access to your webcam right now.
No, put your pants on. It's okay. No, don't listen to him.
No, please do.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.